a few years ago, I was driving when, as I was turning into a plaza, I saw a line of cars with everybody in those vehicles staring at something. And if you've ever seen something like that, it's really confusing at first because you see everybody's heads turned a certain direction and they are definitely focused on something that is taking place, but that is beyond your line of sight. And that's exactly what was happening. As I was turning into the plaza, I could see everything that would be to my left as I was turning in, but to my right, I couldn't see yet because the building obstructed my view. And so I see this line of vehicles with everybody's head turned, just staring at something. What is it that they're looking at? As I turned into the plaza, then I could finally see exactly what was happening, and there was one elderly woman who had apparently fallen, and there was another elderly woman who was helping to lift her up, but struggling to do so. She'd get her part of the way up, and then she would have to set her back down. And these women were both pretty old, and obviously in concerning health, but what amazed me about the situation was that the line of vehicles didn't seem to be filled with other elderly people who might not have physically been able to respond, but instead there were a few young men in this line. And so I pull over and I get out to help this woman help the other lady up, and ended up kind of replacing her entirely in the situation, but had a conversation with them, and I said, well, how long did this go on for? And it was several moments that these people in this vehicle line had watched this one woman struggling to help another. Today we're going to talk about being empathetic. When we talk about being empathetic, the Oxford definition is showing an ability to understand and share the feelings of others. But there's another kind of empathy, more than just the generalized definition, that I want to share with you, and that is compassionate empathy. And this is from psychcentral.com, from an article I'm going to reference later in this episode. And it says, compassionate empathy refers to a combination of cognitive and emotional empathy that encourages you to act out of concern. I don't think I'm shocking anybody when I say that we have a culture that is filled with people who watch. They watch those in danger. They're quick to pick up a cell phone and snap a picture or a video of someone in distress. But there are far too few of people in our society who are empathetic, who really care about where people are and care to the point that they are willing to do something about it. Today I want to talk about how, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can be more empathetic. As we continue our discussion on ways that we can practically live out our Christian faith, we've talked about a number of different actions that we can take or things that we ought to do as followers of Jesus that will help us stand outside of our culture. They will look very differently than the cultural values that so many people in our society maintain. For instance, we talked about forgiving other people, how wild that is in the history of the world, how outside of the norm that happens to be. And I want to share a Bible passage for you as it relates to empathy that is written to believers whose values, whose belief systems are outside of the cultural norm. How can we live as a royal priesthood, as a peculiar people? Well, in 1 Peter, we find Peter writing to believers and challenging them to live lives that honor and glorify Jesus and to do so in a way that sticks out from the culture. And one of the commands that he gives, this is 1 Peter 3:8, is this. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Now, there's quite a series of challenges in that one short verse, but I think that if you boil all of those down, you come up with the fulfillment of what I said we need more of in the introduction, and that is we need to be increasingly empathetic. We need to love people so much that we are able to sympathize with them, that we are able to connect with how somebody feels. We're able to even experience how they feel with them. We can come alongside people who are joyful and we can laugh with them. We can come alongside people who are grieving and know when silence is appropriate, or when it is appropriate to hug, or when it's appropriate to cry with them. And that is certainly what is implied in 1 Peter 3:8, where it commands us to be like-minded. And at the end of this episode, I want us to look at ways we can be more empathetic. I believe that we are able to grow in our empathy. But I want to take just a few minutes talking about this concept from a Christian perspective. When we talk about being empathetic, of course, we're talking first and foremost of having the same values that the Lord Jesus Christ maintained. In Matthew 9:36, it says this, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." We find Jesus in his earthly ministry so often. He engages with people who are experiencing significant hurts, people who feel alienated, people who are depressed, people who feel like they're insignificant to the rest of the world around them. And Jesus shows love and compassion for them. He can relate to how they are feeling. He is like-minded with them, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 implies. He loves them. He is sympathetic. He is compassionate. And he is humble. He has humbled himself to the place that he is willing to walk among broken, hurting people. He doesn't think that he is above them, that he is above us, even though, of course, he is our Lord. He is our God. He's worthy of our worship. And yet, it is not above him to humble himself to a place where he would walk among men. And this is what Philippians chapter 2 also describes in great detail, as well as it describes the sort of humility that the Lord Jesus Christ exemplified. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 2, it's a specific challenge about being humble. And it says, basically, Paul's challenging this church in Philippi to increasingly be humble. And he's saying, hey, it wasn't too good for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you act like it is too far beneath you to humble yourself and to minister to people in need? So this is what Jesus is like. He is humble. He is compassionate. He is sympathetic. He has empathy for people right where they are. And because he has empathy for people, he responds appropriately. And of course, everything Jesus does is appropriate. It's good. But he meets the needs of people right where they are. It's one thing to say, well, I feel like other people feel, but are we willing to follow up our emotions with actions, or even are we willing to engage in actions even if we do not feel like doing so? Now, there are some that, as we talk about being empathetic, there might be somebody tuning in who says, well, I'm not empathetic. You might even have some sort of life command. Well, the men in my family aren't emotional, or we are not empathetic, or that's not what men are like. We're not tough in that way. Maybe you're a woman joining us, and you say, well, that's true for us, for women in my family, for me. That's not how I identify. I don't identify as somebody who's emotional. I am hard-hearted. I am a stoic. Nothing moves me emotionally. Well, you know, I want to challenge you today with the reality that you don't have to live according to those life commands or those false identities. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you should increasingly be like Jesus. That is what we should expect to see in our lives. When we came to saving faith in Jesus, we didn't say, well, you know, I get to continue on with my old nature and define myself by it and define my future actions, my thought processes, my emotions by the history of my family and even the way that I acted or thought or felt before I came to know Jesus. No, the reality is that we laid ourselves entirely down and we say, Lord, I belong to you. Use me for your purposes. Help me to increasingly be like you. The goal of Christianity is not to be hard-hearted. It's not to be one of these people who says, well, I'm so emotionally removed from people's circumstances and from the difficulties that people face that I'm no longer going to open myself up. Or I've been burned by people to the point that what I need to do is I need to protect myself by not being empathetic, not being sympathetic to other people. I need to avoid people in their heart, in their hurt, because I don't want to experience what I've already experienced from people when I open up to them. Can I tell you, in ministry, there are so many times that we minister to people who are hurting, people who are broken. And sometimes in those seasons, they do lash out. And sometimes we catch friendly fire. And that is the reality of the world in which we live. We live in a fallen world. But we don't get to put up a fence then and say, well, I am completely shut off from other people. I'm not going to minister to anybody else. I'm not going to be available for them. Again, getting back to the example of Jesus, Jesus was betrayed by one of his core disciples. Jesus experienced what it meant to have people celebrate him in public and a week later cry out, crucify him, place his blood on the heads of our children. Jesus understood what that was like, and yet he was still humble. He was still compassionate. He was still empathetic for people right where they were. If it was not below Jesus, it was not beneath him to humble himself to that point, we're not too good for that either. We can humble ourselves. We can put our needs, our interests, our desires underneath the needs of other people. We can minister to them. We can grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. As we become increasingly like him, our hearts should be softer. If today you would say, my heart is too hard, I need it to soften up. We're going to talk about how we can be empathetic, more empathetic in just a few moments, how you should have an increasingly soft heart. That is a desire that you should have as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, as I say this, of course, we're talking about being like Jesus, and this means less like the world. This is radically different than the world, and it sets us apart. And again, that's sort of the backdrop to Peter's epistle to Christians in general in 1 Peter and even in 2 Peter, that's sort of the perspective from which he's writing, that we are a set apart, a peculiar people. And I can't reference that passage without the joke that I always make, and that is, you know, we are called to be a peculiar people, and some of us are more peculiar than others. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we should stick out. And by the way, the threshold for sticking out is rather low, because we do live in a society that models what I described in my introductory remarks. We have a culture of people who just watch people who are hurting, who are even willing to pile on and to make jokes and to make memes about people who are suffering, as though there's something wrong with somebody because they're in a season in which they are experiencing a lot of difficulty, rather than coming alongside and helping them. Instead, people even want to make a mockery of people who are suffering. So if you show any interest in the concerns of other people, if you are willing to engage them right where they are, if you're willing to listen to somebody speak when they're hurting, if you're willing to cry alongside with somebody, you are going to be able to stand out, because people usually don't experience that kind of friendship, that sort of fellowship in our world today. And the final remark that I want to make before we talk about growing in empathy is that when we are empathetic, people understand what God is like. Our goal in being empathetic is not that people think that we are some special good people, but instead it is to point people towards our Father who is in heaven. That's the desire that we have. When we are empathetic, we reflect God's character. People look at us as professing followers of Jesus Christ, and they wonder, whether they can articulate it or not, they wonder, what is it that they believe to be true about God? If they really believe in God, if they've had an encounter with their God, then their lives should be changed, right? Like, that's what the unbelieving world expects of professing followers of Jesus. And so if they see no difference in our lives, they assume that our profession of faith is faulty as well. But when people look at our lives, and of course we're not perfect, we stumble in many ways, but when people look at our lives and say, you know what, he or she might not be a perfect person, might stumble in many ways, but I know that he or I know that she loves me. I know that when I'm hurting, I know where I can turn for prayer. I know where I can turn when I'm in a situation where I'm in need, and somebody's going to care about me right where I'm at. And rather than just rubbing my face and my mistakes or whatever life situations brought me to this point, this is somebody who's going to come alongside and listen to me. They're going to show compassion, and they're going to be willing to minister to me right where I am. When people understand that about us, they understand in part what God is like, because they see his love manifested in our lives. Whether, again, they can understand that fully, wrap their minds around it, whether they can articulate it or not, That is what they are seeing. We have such a high calling and an opportunity to show what God is like, the loving care that he has, the empathy that Jesus Christ showed in throughout his earthly ministry. We have an opportunity to reflect those very characteristics. So as we now turn our attention towards how to be more empathetic, I am going to be sharing from an article from Psych Central, and this was published on April 4th, 2022. It was written by a woman named Hope Gillette. And so she just gives three practical steps to becoming more empathetic with a couple subpoints, which as a pastor I can always appreciate. And the first is to connect with others. The second is to experience the world firsthand. And the third is to engage with others. As it relates to the first, it says this: it can be easy to assume everyone's just like you, thinking the same things, having the same opinions, living the same experiences. Even when you know people are different, you might find it surprising when someone offers an insight that's different from yours. Cheryl Delaney, a licensed professional counselor in Atlanta, explains that learning about others can be a big step in becoming more empathetic. Most of the time, we assume that other people are just like us, so their behavior doesn't make sense to us. When you don't know much about the other person, explains Delaney, it's more likely that you can't understand their behavior or way of thinking. If you can't understand it, you may have a more difficult time empathizing with it. For example, if you enjoy attending parties, you might be surprised to learn someone prefers to stay home by themselves if given the empathy. Empathy starts by learning more about these differences and connecting with other people's interests, motivations, and reasons for being. There are different questions that you can ask or ways you can connect with others. You can ask questions about somebody. You could ask about the values they maintain. You can practice actively listening. You can let somebody know that you are available for support. You can include an individual in activities and events. You can give people a benefit of the doubt if you don't understand. And you know, I think that's a really good starting point for our discussion on how to be more empathetic. If we're not connecting with other people, we are going to look at people's actions and we're going to assume many things about them. A lot of times we make assumptions about other people because there's one person we know really well, and that is ourselves. And so we assume that everybody has the same, even though we know in the back of our minds this isn't true, we still do this. We assume that people think like we do, that their experiences are similar than ours, that if we were put in the same situation, we might respond very differently than somebody else. So we might actually be frustrated by the actions that we see others engage in or the words that come out of their mouths because we don't really understand where somebody's coming from. Until we actually engage with somebody, until we actually connect with them and understand what they're like, why they're doing what they're doing, those sort of things, until we do that, we're not going to be able to be empathetic because we're not going to understand what they actually feel. We're going to make assumptions about what they feel. We might not understand the situation or the circumstances that brought them to that place, so we might not be empathetic towards them because we might have a whole narrative in the back of our minds about what led them to that point that is completely false. So we need to make sure that we are connecting with others. The second step that's referenced here is to experience the world firsthand. It says, developing empathy can be challenging if you don't have access to other people's stories and realities. DeAndre Cummings, a licensed professional clinical counselor and lawyer in Louisville, Kentucky, that's a mouthful, offers a number of tips to do this. She says, volunteering at shelters, hospitals, or community centers, meeting new people, particularly from other backgrounds, attending events with diverse audiences, inviting acquaintances over to get to know them better. I think this is really important to make sure that we have many experiences and we understand what somebody is really going through. You know, we see statistics, and as a pastor, sometimes we can get into traps of, you know, you share statistics, for instance, on poverty, and pretty soon, if somebody's never experienced poverty, they just see statistics on a page. They don't understand. There's just numbers, you know, 20-something percent of people or whatever, and that just goes over somebody's over somebody's head. And in fact, it never reaches their heart at all because it's just a statistic. How do we even pray for people if we just think of them as a statistic or just another face in the crowd? When we spend time with people, when we look in their eyes, when we come to understand their experiences, when we, to use a cliche, when we walk a mile in their shoes, we can empathize better with somebody because we feel what they feel, at least in part. There are times where, you know, we're exposed to the situations that somebody else is feeling and the hurts that they're carrying, and we don't exactly we don't have any way to share in their experience, but we are better able to empathize with them because we learn to love them in a greater way. Years ago, I visited a children's hospital, and there's a little child I was going to see, and her health condition was rather poor. It was deteriorating quickly, and thankfully she's still alive, but she was in a great deal of pain. And the entire time that I visited with her mother, she screamed in pain, just that kind of agony. And I found myself driving home from that hospital. It was about an hour drive to where I was living at the time. And it wasn't until I pulled into my driveway that it dawned on me that I never even turned on the radio that entire drive. Why? Well, emotionally, I was so moved. I had never witnessed something like that. That was so far beyond my experience. I mean, I've been in pain. You know, my children have been sick. They've gotten banged up, you know, little bruises here or there, playing a sport or roughhousing with one another or whatever. And I had this girl on my prayer list for a long time, for a year or two by that point, and I had been praying for her. Amy and I were faithfully praying for her, but I hadn't felt the same sort of connection with her experience because this was so far outside of my experience. My children, thankfully, had never experienced anything like this, and so my ability emotionally to enter into the space that they were occupying was just far beyond anything that I could even begin to comprehend. And I'm not going to pretend that I could fully comprehend it leaving there, but having witnessed that and just to experienced what her mother experienced 24 hours a day, to experience that for, you know, an hour or so, I left there with such a prayer burden and a concern for where they both were that it just renewed my investment in prayer, my interest in committing to praying for them. It created an emotional connection with them where I really hurt for what they experienced, even if I couldn't fully understand it. You know, we talk about growing in empathy. We talk about volunteering at places where we can see where people are and what they're experiencing, and we can better understand their hurts. We're not pretending that we can learn everything that somebody's experiencing or that we can fully comprehend where they are. But instead, to a degree, we can walk into that space that their lives occupy, and we can have an increased burden for them. We can better understand what their actual needs are, and we can find ways to meet that. To back up just a moment and think about the topic of shelters or places where those who are in poverty have their needs met. There are times where we might think, well, you know, meeting somebody's needs if they're poor, that means just giving them money. That's what they need. And that might be true for some. There might be others, however, that there are life situations that brought them to the place where they are in financial need. They might need additional support. They might need training. They might have a real interest in escaping generational poverty. And what they need is information that you might be able to provide. And so we might think, well, what they just need is this handout, or they need this money. And again, there might be some who do, but there might be others who, when we actually experience their world firsthand and we listen to them, and they say, well, yeah, this is where I'm at today, but this is what I actually need. Or this is the way that I feel because of how other people look at me and the way that people treat me. And we could begin to enter into that space with them. Then we're going to be better able to empathize with their need and to respond in ways that are a blessing to them. The third step way that we can grow in empathy, according to this article, is by engaging with others. It says, compassion is an essential part of the type of empathy that partners with concern and moves you to action. Kindness is at the root of compassion. Delaney recommends the following exercise for you to consider if trying to develop more empathy overall. The first is, think of at least one compliment you can give to every person you come in contact with. Second, decide if you want to say it out loud to them or just keep it to yourself. And third, cultivate the habit of thinking about the things you like and admire about others. So it's challenging us to think differently about other people, to make ourselves increasingly available to them, to meet people right where they were. This is the beauty of the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Did he just stay far away from the hurting, the needy? Did he just say, well, hey, I'll pray for you? No, Jesus walked among them. He physically met their needs. When people are hungry, he fed them. When people needed healed, and of course he had the ability to physically heal people, and we don't have that capacity perhaps, but we can come alongside and recognize somebody's physical needs or their emotional, their mental needs, and we can do the best we can to meet those needs or to point them towards resources that can be a blessing for them. But we need to walk among people. People need to know that we care enough about them and that we love them, that they trust us with their burdens, with their hurts. That people trust us enough to know that these followers of Jesus really care about where I am. As we wind down this episode, though, and we talk about growing in empathy, I want you to understand, again, that there is a need to be empathetic. It is such an opportunity we have to show what God is like and to show his love to a lost and broken world. We do this as we follow the example of Jesus Christ. There are ways that we can increasingly be empathetic. We just talked about three ways that we can grow in empathy. But I want to end with this thought, and that is that Christians are able to act certain ways even before they feel that way. You don't have to feel empathetic to begin to act in ways that are empathetic. So often in our world, people wait until they feel something before they act. But if you would commit yourself, you'd say, look, I have a hard heart. I don't really care about where people are. Or, you know, I do care, but I just haven't had time recently. I haven't been vulnerable to anybody. I haven't been there to help anybody. What an opportunity today to create space and say, I'm going to act this way. The next person that I walk into, I'm not just going to say, how are you doing, and keep on walking. I'm going to ask, how are you? And when they say good, I'm going to pause and say, are you really good? I'm going to allow them an opportunity to speak. And maybe they'll say, yeah, I'm fine. Maybe that's an individual who needs somebody to talk to. Maybe we can find ways to volunteer at places that in which people are ministered to, have their needs met. Maybe we can find ways to connect with other people and get to hear their story, invite them over for a cup of coffee or whatever it is, and just listen to people where they are. Being empathetic doesn't mean just coming alongside people who are hurting, people who are broken. It means also coming alongside people who are joyful, who are celebrating, and sharing those experiences and those emotions with them as well. We have a great opportunity as followers of Jesus Christ to show his love. What an opportunity. I look forward to picking this discussion up next week as we continue talking about practical ways to live out our faith.